Christmas party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
The monster coming along.
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generation engaged. Raise the monster.
It's time for the
Jimmy Jones.
Hey, look at that. Callers are coming in right now.
Oh. Yeah, right. Gino's on. Hi, Gino. Good to see you. He's clicked onto us. God love you. Well, this is it. By God, this is...
No, it really is ringing. Pull him up.
No, this is crazy.
It's actually physically impossible for the phone
for
to ring here
in this studio.
Any Jimmy Doan show
studio. Right. That's right.
But somehow
it did. Yeah, that's. I'm not sure what that.
We must have gotten
why? Everybody's confusing me all of a sudden. This is not true. Okay. Now look. Okay, let's get started here. This is here it is. It's November something or another. 18th. Big game here at the Gator game.
55-0 last time I checked.
And that was like
Gators
after,
scoring every possession except
that,
one.
That was after 10 minutes, right?
Right.
Okay, and so this is the rollover the East Jesus, Western Kentucky, North Central, North Carolina people, something.
Right. Well, I think that the center and the quarterback are brother and sister.
Okay, I think there's an uncle in there too. Right tackle. Yeah, they're all. Yeah, that's good. They do look similar. They all look similar. That's interesting. So at any rate, this is great.
Do we have any fun at the astronaut convention?
Oh my God!
Gemini dinner.
That's
thanks,
right.
Lynn.
That's right. So we do. Did we post a show last week?
Nope.
No, we didn't. Okay, so this is
First time in 2 weeks.
So hello, back again. We're back on schedule for a while. This is great.
So, anything to talk about?
Yes, we have a lot of things to talk about.
Tell us what you're going to talk about, Jimmy.
Hey, would you tell us? First of all, let me just say we got Counselor Curtis here.
Hey, how you doing?
Bunch of legal stuff today.
Uh-huh.
And Engineer Eric.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully... Bender will be here.
Yes.
He's always stopping by.
Bender's always good.
Drinking all the booze,
that's right. We have, in general, since it's been 2 weeks, of course, since then, the Democrats have won a whole lot.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk too much about that.
No.
Mostly, even more important, of course, is Simpson's new book.
Homer?
I'm not Homer and not... Who's the singer? Who's the girl?
Jessica,
not Jessica. No,
mm-hmm.
OJ, the non-guilty person.
Not guilty.
Mm-hmm. Not going to talk too much about him. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about healthcare, immigration, a little bit about the new Congress. Milton Friedman died.
Mm.
Big deal. He really was a libertarian. He had only one major subject that I disagreed with him on. Everything else was great. And the major subject that I disagreed with him on was. On vouchers. He was a big voucher person,
right.
School choice vouchers. And one of the things that I don't like about vouchers is that the government is still in control and they would take it over. And also the PS3 is...
PlayStation.
PlayStation 3 came out, I think, yesterday. And and the Wii...
Oh, come on.
And the Wii...
No, I'm just saying that guy got shot, trying to get one.
Oh, that's right. We're in the wrong business. Well, they had... It was all the big news. They were interviewing people in lines.
Right.
People were bribing people for their spots and so forth.
Right.
And I think I said education. That's about it. Other than that, I just wanted to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
To some people.
Hello!
I can't speak all the languages. We've got the usual Morocco, our friend from Morocco chime in. And of course, we've got Oklahoma City, big time. They come in here all the time. We've got Murfreesboro, Tennessee. But internationally,
I played Murfreesboro when I was in a rock band.
Did you?
Played the Metal's Edge.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my God. Well, hello. Liberty, Tennessee. Also, we have Japan, India, Germany, and Brazil, besides the UK. And so we had a good Canada. So we have a good cross section of people checking in with us, and that
Belgium. Super hot model died, and she was Brazilian.
What? Who? What? Hello? Who? Which?
And she was waffle thin.
What?
She had anorexia.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's horrible.
Why, that sucks. That's
taking it almost to the limit, but
it's a little past the limit, right? You're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the deal is that. Let me go over in a little more detail some of the things, and not necessarily in this order, when I'm talking about whether it's healthcare or the immigration thing. You did know a Canadian professor, healthcare, for instance, Canadian professors can smoke pot at work.
Like we're going to study 60s art.
Well, not only that, this is what I mentioned before, was that this is a time that secondhand smoke is good. I mean, this is when you want secondhand smoke.
And lots of it.
That's right, and lots of it. So let me start to go through the main things here. Economist Milton Friedman dies at age 94, one of the most influential economists and so forth. He wasn't, unfortunately, he was from the Chicago school, they called it, as opposed to the Austrian school or the Keynesian school and so forth. And they are they're fairly libertarian. He had which I've got here, by the way, a set of tapes that was run on PBS, I think, maybe once, because it was I don't want to say it's anti-PBS, but it was pro-market, called Free to Choose. He had a book.
Free to Choose.
Right. It's a book, and it's an easy read. He was, the nice thing about Milton was that he communicated well. He didn't write in his economists, his writings were not all this advanced mathematics. It was plain English, mm-hmm. and anybody could understand it. And I think that's what got some people upset, because it made sense. It was logical, and the politicians didn't like that.
Yeah, this actually makes sense.
Well, and when you confront a politician with something that makes sense that involves less money than they're used to spending,
then they will pass a law to make sure it doesn't make sense.
No, that you shut up.
Not only that, they go into total denial, and this is when you need a 12-step program for these people.
Right.
I've always said that politicians should all go through a 12-step program. Anyway, he wrote this Free to Choose thing and did the videos. I've got the videos here. It's like a 6-part series. I think it ran once or twice in the early 90s, and then since then it has gone into oblivion. But I will tell our listeners that if they should get on eBay or Amazon, that this is a good series to look for.
Oh, he kicks buttocks.
Yeah, he does.
Kicks in the buttocks.
The buttocks, that's right. He does a great job on that particular series, and it does explain in relatively simple detail, which is all it takes, because basic economics is simple. It's, I want this, and how do I have to, how can I get it? How can I earn the money for it? And basic economics is real simple. And no.
Got
that's,
mine.
That's right. See, that's what the government does. And one of the things I love, one of the series, or I guess the lectures that I've taped from Stefan Molyneux up in Canada, is his 2-part series on the gun in the room. And I went down and talked to our local commissioners here about this. They don't realize, I mean, they're bullies. What it boils down to is they're bullies. They're little minions that come out here and inspect. They're bullies because why? They can tell you what to do, and if you say, no, I don't want to do it, essentially the entire sheriff's department, blue lights, badges, dogs, sniffing, everything, up your butt, you know, they come down, and they will bring the full force of all the guns down on you. They have that in the room. As he says, there's a gun in the room. When you go down and talk to these people at the commission meetings, they're armed, mm-hmm. and you're not. I mean, it's not exactly the equal. Right. And so it's a what they call a coercive exchange versus a voluntary exchange. So anyway, let me move on. Sorry to hear about Milton. And
Ed Bradley, too, also passed away. Good journalist.
Yeah, well, okay. let's see. And so did Bo Schlumberger or whatever. He was the Michigan guy. He was
Michigan coach.
Michigan coach. And he was actually like taping something and keeled mm-hmm. over.
Dead.
Yeah.
So then that's the big.
It's starting right now. Yeah, I know.
It starts at 3:30. I thought.
Okay. Oh, well, we're going to take a break. Then.
Well, we'll take a break before.
We're going to take a break because I didn't set up the tape machine.
Right.
Sorry.
Bad Jimmy.
That's right. My bad. Let's talk a little bit about global warming and the environment.
Play the environmental update music.
Do we have environmental?
Yeah,
update?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Oh, we actually got some. Somewhere right here.
Okay, looking for.
Okay.
I love the sound of guns. We're going to have to play that the sound of gun that the where the guy shoots off the 50 cal at the cars.
Well, look what I've got here. It's a Carl Gustav anti-tank gun.
That video, if you ever, it's not on YouTube, it's on Breakup or
it's
something.
It's on Break.com, yeah.
Break.com.
If you search for like cars and shooting target practice,
oh
you'll
my
get
God.
It. It's
it is
hysterical.
The funniest thing.
Now that's what I call sport.
He shoots a car
with a tank gun.
That's what I call sport.
That's my kind of sport.
Exactly.
No, oh my God. So anyway, a couple of things that we're talking about here, as far as the global warming and the environment are concerned, it's interesting to see the dichotomy or the people that are fighting each other. I'm going to read you just a couple quick headlines. One is, humans may need dirty skies slow global warming. Here is somebody who says, gosh, it may turn out that we're going to have to pollute the skies with soot because I think it has something to do with the reflection of the sun and so forth. And this Nobel Prize winning guy that's doing this stuff. I'm thinking this is sort of at odds with what some of the other people are saying. If scientific predictions are correct, Silicon Valley could be underwater within half a century. Green tech may save them. I mean, if scientific predictions are correct,
mm-hmm.
Silicon Valley could be underwater. Well, okay, too bad.
And you mean on stilts is what it'll be. You're floating in the air.
One of the things that I found is if your place floods like a lot, you tend to move.
Yeah.
You might move inland even.
Yeah.
Say up the mountain a little bit. Higher elevation. I would think that. It's not exactly, when you think you've got 50 years, it's not exactly a tsunami.
No.
It's not like you've got 8 seconds to get out of the way. You've got 50 years. Watch me. I think I can move in 50 years.
Yeah, their house values are high enough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then they have an alternative energy startup, Microgy, it's called, has lined up contracts for an essential element to bring natural gas. Now, this is the ultimate in natural gas to California homes, cow manure. They've got a thing here. It's called thermophilic digesters, and that's not the cows. That's an actual machine.
Right. It's not a machine cow.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's a machine cow. They're corralling the artificial farts.
Right.
To removing the carbon dioxide, turn to biogas and a natural gas, which the company plans to ship down pipelines. Now, one of the nice.
What you're saying is the pig goes down the pipeline.
Exactly. that's from the. For our listeners, don't know when I was up in Alaska. They have, as you know, a thing called a pig that they send down the pipeline. And there were a number of people on my tour bus that thought it was a real pig.
Mm-hmm.
Oink, oink, with a curly tail pig. At any rate, that's two things. I'm just trying to look here real quick. The one nice thing, one of the things that they have to do with with gas, I don't know if you know this, but mm-hmm. when they put gas in your stove and so forth, and for your heat here, they have to inject a special chemical so that you can smell it.
Right.
Yeah. As you know,
Because
it's totally odorless.
Right.
Not a problem with cow manure gas.
Right.
I would imagine that that you would know pretty quick if you had a leak. And then another thing on the global scale, study sees global collapse of fish species. This Aww. Is, well, what they're saying
yeah,
is that,
exactly.
Yeah, well, there's a shame. Well, my point is that what we do without studies, okay, they have said that the oceans are being overfished and we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at all of this stuff here. I know it's good, but Silicon Valley, underwater, I guess the fish maybe a new reef or something, so maybe there'll be new fish species, I don't know, living there.
Silicon fish,
that's right. We can all, since we're going to age as spiritual machines, we're going to be still silicon people, maybe
we'll
interface, that's right, with the silicon fish. Perfect. Humans may need dirty skies. This guy thinks instead of clean skies, we need dirty skies.
Right.
What we'll do is we'll put up a big tent.
Well, let me tell you, I don't have the article here. But one of there is an actual proposal to send us some kind of a shield in outer space.
A Dyson sphere.
Well, no, it's not a Dyson sphere. They're going to put some kind of
around our planet. Yeah,
they're going to put some kind of a big like reflectogram or something in outer space that's 1,000, 10,000 miles across to. be able to... What I would think they would do with this, actually, probably Lex Luthor would get a hold of this thing and make it into a parabolic doohickey and fry somebody on the planet.
That happened in Futurama.
Did it?
Yeah, they were they were trying to prevent... they figured out the reason was because of global warming, was because of the robots were emitting gas because they basically drank alcohol and they emitted like all these toxins. And it was the professor who actually worked for Mom's robot company, and he was the one who actually designed the robots this way, and he knew it would come back to haunt him in the future. But so Wernstrom, his rival, said, I have created this huge parabolic dish in space, and then of course a little meteor came by and went pink, and then it goes eat, and of course right through the Kyoto convention. I love that. Yes. And I love it. I got Kyoto, the anagrams lovers Tokyo.
That's right. Well, didn't Mr. Burns have something to do with the sun in one of the
He blotted out the sun.
He blotted out the sun too. Mm-hmm. So this is normal. I mean, obviously, if you can do it on the cartoon channel, you can do it in real life, and that's what they want.
Well, of course,
suck up your tax dollars. And so we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
No fish left. We're going to be...
he dies, she dies, everybody dies.
That's right.
That's not it. It's just one thing. It's just one thing dies, and they're all worried about it. I mean, one fish.
Well,
you know,
this is actually a global collapse of fish species. I thought it was a joke because the doctor's name is Dr. Worm. Now think about it for a second. Okay,
he's got a grudge.
No, there's something wrong here.
He's got a grudge.
In an interview, Dr. Worm said, "We looked at absolute everything: all the fish, shellfish, invertebrates, everything that people consume that comes from the ocean, all of it globally. Researchers found that 29% of the species have been fished so heavily and were so affected by pollution or habitat loss that they were down to 10% of previous levels, according to Dr. Worm." So Dr. Worm obviously has a name problem, something or another.
Dr. Sure. Bate.
Yes, right. Well, that was his rival, is Dr. Bate.
Yeah, I am.
And Secretary Miss Lure.
Yeah. Ooh, I bet.
Hi, honey. I love you.
So anyway, we're all going to die.
It always amazes me that
But they want to take control. Of course, what they want to do is to set up some kind of a global...
static machine
thing. Well, that too. But
so nothing. No new species can die. No species that are around now can die.
Right. Well, they protect the what was the snail darter? So they all no natural progressions anymore. No more Darwin for us. No more survival of the fittest.
Right. That's
no
the
more.
Thing. It's like I guess they've
decided. Humans have decided that this is it. This is good enough. 4 billion years of evolution. Boom. Let's stop right now.
Somebody hit the brakes.
Kill all of you. Kill all of you. Must kill all of you.
Bender, wake up!
I was having the most wonderful dream.
Yeah.
I think you were in it.
Listen, Bender, where's your bathroom?
Bath what?
Bathroom.
What room?
Bathroom. What? What?
That is hysterical. So along these same lines, of course, they with the global, in order to prevent the pollution and so forth, what they want to do, as you know, is the big ethanol thing. Big deal with ethanol. And I guess everybody knows, including ADM, who's the big corn people out in Iowa, and all the people in Iowa know this, that it's a losing deal. It sucks.
Right.
I mean, to put it mildly, to put it not fine, too fine a point on it,
mm-hmm.
It sucks. It costs more
to make
than you get out of it and so forth. They're talking about the E85 and so forth. So the corn boom, one of the things, this is so funny about this on so many levels, this is funny. One of the things, the headline here is corn is booming as ethanol heats up. Okay, mm-hmm. nice headline writer. Crops fetch new highs. Ranchers, food markers, makers fret. Silver lining for taxpayers. Over the summer, the corn-to-fuel industry was experiencing windfall profits.
Uh-oh, sounds like it's time for a new tax.
Well, yeah, exactly. A new tax as the price of oil soared. Well, what they want to do, of course, is in order to have oil independence, energy independence, they want to have us all burn ethanol. The problem, of course, is that it costs
Brazil
more.
Brazil doomed us, you know.
Well, that's one of the things they have. They raise a lot of sugarcane down there, and they have sugarcane ethanol.
And they mandated governmentally that something like 85% of their service stations had to have E85 there.
Right.
Then over the last three decades, it's taken them 30 years to make this transformation at who knows what cost.
Well, one of the things that people don't, that's happened, here's the as usual, the unexpected consequence, or whatever you want to call this, is that corn, of course, is used to feed meat that some of us eat, other than the vegetarian.
Not anymore,
right. And so the price of feed has gone through the ceiling. Price of beef is going to go up. And, of course, it says here, I'm reading from this article now, but the ethanol industry is so profitable, thanks in part to federal tax incentives and state mandates. That is taxpayer money.
It's so profitable because we pay them.
Well, again, this is straight out of the market system. As the government tries to corral or do something with the market, such a high price for corn at harvest will likely spur farmers to convert pastures and idled land in new cornfields next spring.
You think they'll change the tax rules at that point?
Duh. Prices of soybeans, oats, sorghum, and barley have climbed in recent weeks, too. Processors that depend on those crops are suddenly willing to pay more in order to discourage growers from shifting their farms to corn. Well, duh. I mean, it ripples through the whole economy.
We have to pay all the other farmers so that they won't switch.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's so funny. Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a typical example of a problem created by government, and their solution is another problem.
Right? No, this is like Mickey hacking the broom up.
Right. I mean,
it just keeps coming.
Exactly. It just keeps coming. Last year, the federal government, that's you and me, sent $8.9 billion in subsidy checks to corn farmers. I mean, here's the guys, they're making money hand over fist, right. And yet we still sent almost $9 billion in subsidies. Federal and then,
they need it.
Yeah, right. Well, they said that because the price of corn is going through the ceiling, they said, and the farmers are all making a profit now, mm-hmm. that the subsidy checks,
windfall profits,
however, the federal checks to corn farmers might fall to as low as only $2 billion.
Ooh.
Yeah, boy, that's that'd get me out of the business.
Yeah.
$2 billion. So, exactly. we're going to get here, and also I'm going to want to talk to you about some legal stuff here in just a second.
No way, man.
No way.
Tell you what, before we get into that, you want to take a break?
Yes, let's take a break.
And I need to get up the stuff happening.
And get it up.
And get the things, yeah.
Okay.
we'll be right back.
We'll be back.
And we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Well, I got a note from Gino that says, not unlike Eric. What the hell is that all about?
I don't know.
So we'll continue on here. Good. And we've got some guests around here that may chime in. You never can tell. Sanitation workers' honesty doesn't pay. I was wondering about this. This starts in our kind of our legal thing here, Curtis. The sanitation worker who found $1,900 attached to a discarded desk at a city scrap heap, says he followed the rules and now deserves the money. Now, what happens, as you know, when you turn in money, you find, what, you have to wait 30, 60, 90 days or something, depending on the statute? And then you get it if nobody claims it, right?
Well, turn it into who? When you find money, it's finders keepers.
Yeah, you would think, but I believe... Well,
turn it into who?
Well, I think that people, when they find a substantial wad, figuring, of course, it's drug money... No, if
right.
The point that I'm making is that people do turn in money to the police.
Well, what they usually do is to the police.
Yes.
You're saying
to the police or to
Are
the,
you kidding?
Yeah, seriously, man. I mean, I know they turn it into their employer if it's found on a property that you're supposed to turn it into the proprietor. So if you know they're at the police station and find it, you know. And,
well, right. I have heard
found it in the evidence room.
I don't want to go.
Found it what? In the evidence room.
Right, exactly. No,
a whole bunch of numbered bills
had smears of things over it, fingerprints and what
is some
it?
Purple ink on here.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Know.
The purple, right? Exactly. Suspicious. That's the new money. No, I have heard of people that have found money someplace on the street, whatever it is, and they turn to the police, and then they wait 90 days, and then it's theirs if nobody claims it. Have you heard of this before?
Never heard of that. I mean, the common law rule is, if you find it in a public place, I mean, it's
okay, anyway, he found it to a discarded city desk at a city scrap heap. And he followed the rules and turned it into the city. His employer, I guess, you say, as you say. He found the cash in July in envelopes attached by magnets to the underside of a metal desk at a junk drop-off site at the city garage. The longtime sanitation worker turned the money over to police, it says here, and waited for someone to claim it within 90 days. Apparently, that's their rule. Apparently, they have a rule
okay.
that says if you find something like this. And then the city said, no, no, you found it on city property. It's ours. And my question is, the 90 days and no one claimed the money. City officials have been wrangling over what to do with it. Of course, it, as you know, as P.G. O'Rourke says, money to politicians is like dung to flies. Mm-hmm. So they once they get their hands on it.
Well, the question is, then does that mean that everything on city property
well,
is
theirs?
Well,
that's what I was asking. I mean,
I found this Lotus over here.
Well, I found an abandoned Lotus on the sidewalk.
Right.
Or not on the sidewalk, but in the on the city street.
Right.
I mean, what happens? How far does this go? It was $1,900 attached to a discarded city desk, a desk at a city scrap heap. And my question is, I'm surprised in a way, counselor, that you don't have never heard of people turning in money and waiting 9 days and getting it. I guess you as a public defender.
Exactly.
Well, then I'll just throw that one away.
Next.
Yeah. High court to rule on deadly force in police chases. Now, did you read this one here?
Yeah.
This is when the court hears arguments in Scott v. Harris early in 2007. It will be the first time the justices have reexamined the constitutional prerequisites for employing deadly force against unarmed fleeing suspects in 1985. So unarmed. No, the fleeing suspect is unarmed.
Right. It's like that troops movie, you know, and we know everybody. I got it. And they're all dressed up like stormtroopers. So if I go to that sand crawler over there, you see that's your cousin who sold you these droids. You got to see it. Oh, there's a Star Wars spoof. Search for it sometime. I think it's like you know Cops, the show that they run around and beat people up.
Oh no, I've seen that one.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's a classic.
That is hysterical. That was before YouTube. I mean, that's been around for like 2 years or 3 years.
Right.
Oh, that is hysterical. I wonder if anybody's bothered to put it on YouTube. They probably have.
Oh, I bet you they have. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what's happened is that most of the people who are in jail today are in there for some kind of fleeing and eluding.
Right.
Because I mean, that's like the big that and resisting arrest. I can't tell you how many people I've defended who are charged only with trying to get away. And
now they had several years ago. I remember this now, and they got away with it. There was a fellow who was in a rundown, some ridiculous section of town. Obviously, drugs, prostitution, all the bad things in this particular part. The cops came by, and he takes off, just starts running. And they caught up with him, and they said, why were you running? Or they arrested him. Like
why
you
were
said,
you chasing?
Well, that's,
his response.
His response was, in this neighborhood, when the cops show up, something's going to go down, and you don't want to be part of it, so we take off. That's generally our autonomic
and
response.
And that's become part of the rule. That is to say, you're hauling butt. Cannot raise suspicion reasonably to the level of probable cause.
No profiling allowed.
And also you're allowed to just take off. If they're not saying halt, you can run. And
what if they say halt though? But I mean, if they say
halt and you run, then you're resisting arrest or you're interfering with an investigation.
What if you're deaf and you can't hear them?
Then
what happens if you think they're talking to somebody else?
Yeah, it was the other five guys.
It was the other five guys who were running away. Wasn't me. Wasn't telling me to halt.
Well, you could try that.
And you'd lose.
Maybe.
So my question to you is about this. What's the story on this? What's the court going to do, counselor?
Well, these days, they'll probably uphold the use of deadly force in some sort of fleeing case. They'll say that the fleeing constitutes a threat which might incur great bodily harm on people in the way or something like that. And then, therefore, they can use a high degree of force. I mean, they've always been allowed to do the little J turn there. What's that called? Where they ram them in the back and spin the car around?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that kind of stuff is that's what they do all the time. I mean, they are chasing people down. I mean, you're not safe in your car.
No, that is always well. They had this actually had to do with a car chase, I think, and. The girl's a paraplegic now, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And
it happens all the time. People with the stupidest little things, you know, they're wanted for stealing $5 worth of candy or something, and they get in their car.
Capital offense.
Right. Well, then once they get in their car and haul ass, then it's like,
you know, there's six cop cars chasing them, and then they're running through somebody's yard, and they get charged with damage on that. And inevitably, I've seen this, I mean, half of the time, they're charged with attempted murder or aggravated battery, attempted right. battery on a law enforcement officer, because at some point, a police officer invariably jumps out in front of the car. I'm not kidding. And like yells halt or stop or something, and then they dive to the side, and of course, they're like a half a mile down the road.
Right, right.
But doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. No. They're trying to kill me.
Right.
And that's right.
I mean, it is all the time, and then that gets them the super high charge, and so then gives them a little bargaining chip for the government.
A little bargaining chip. Well, you've seen that so many times. I mean, I've seen that. That, of course, to me is ridiculous, where they say, okay, you can go to trial and you might get the death penalty.
Right.
Or how about
just 20 years in jail.
Just plead guilty, 90 days in jail, $5,000 fine, we'll let you off, you know, time served.
They do that all the time. I can't tell you how many people I've defended who just time served was the plea. Time served. You get to go home. Here are your choices. You can go home today, or you can stay in jail and fight this thing.
Right.
On the principle of the matter.
On the principle. And you actually have a better than a 50-50 chance of winning. But if you lose, right. bye-bye.
You stay in jail.
That's right. Forever.
Right.
So anyway, then another legal item. Principal who shot kittens could face felony charges. School principal has resigned and could face felony firearm charges after he shot and killed two orphan kittens on school property.
Meow.
he said, it occurred on school grounds, endangered no one. I bred cats. I own two myself. Some of my best friends are cats, whatever. Incident happened to several students still on the grounds after school activities heard the shots. And so they're going to, apparently, they charge him with a felony for what? For firing a gun or something. Is this?
Yeah, I imagine that they're.
But this.
Discharge of a felony on a school. I mean, discharge of a felony.
Discharge of a felony.
Of a gun on school grounds has got to be a felony with, like, mandatory year in jail or something, or prison.
Even if nobody was around.
Yeah, I would think.
He was charged with felony possession of...
Always wanted to kill one of those, and now is my chance.
Send the car launch
That's
guy.
Right. Oh, yeah, we'll see. We'll have a link to that. It was reckless discharge of a firearm, which is a misdemeanor, but possession...
Reckless discharge.
Reckless discharge.
It makes it sound like he's waving it around at school kids.
Well,
right?
The thing about it is...
Hey, really, you know?
What I like about this is the headline, if you want to call it the headline, is, or the first sentence in this is, after he shot and killed two orphaned kittens.
Aww.
Yeah, aww. We're gonna have another thing. Orphaned kittens. If they hadn't been orphaned,
right. One was a pretty white.
Oh, Fluffy. One was named Fluffy, and the other was named Love. My kind of fun. I would say that. So next item, is a burrito a sandwich? Judge says no. I thought this was. I mean, what?
Not anymore. I just ate it.
Right. Well, this is the kind of stuff that comes up in the courts.
Well,
can you imagine?
That's one where you almost want to reverse sue the people for just ridiculousness.
Well,
I see you on the guns, ridiculousness.
That's right.
level 3 ridiculousness.
That's right. Well, it is. That's the kind of thing where, what was going on there is they were trying to prevent anybody else from competing with them at the mall.
Right.
And so
they had a clause that says no other sandwich shops allowed. Right. I'm a sandwich shop, and by my lease says there's no other sandwich shops within 1,000
right.
feet.
Right. So this Mexican restaurant wants to come in.
And with burritos. And right. The guy says, whoa, burritos, that's a sandwich.
Got those Spanish sandwiches.
That's right. So it's got bread and cluff stuff in it. So anyway, they decided, I love it.
They had an investigation.
Right. They had a hearing. Went to, you know,
this is all civil law, though. I mean, this is people spending money against each other. So, I mean,
okay.
The only thing that we're wasting as taxpayers is the judge's time and the bailiff
true.
And stuff. You
then
know?
The bailiff. Okay, well, then that's good. Anyway, they decided was a sandwich needed two pieces of bread, not one. They said a burrito is not a sandwich because it's only one piece of bread.
Right. What about an open face club sandwich?
Here, I'm giving you a one-finger salute. Okay, so when moving along on the next item, let's see. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about? I mean, you just jump in here.
Actually, I had a couple legal things here.
Okay.
Driver threatens police with a snake. In Sydney, Australia.
Well, this, now let me tell you, before you get carried away on this, do you remember the Mad Max movies?
Yeah, yeah.
And remember when the guy was flying?
Yeah. Right.
And he dropped a snake? Okay, so this is obviously an Australian thing.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he carries a loaded snake with him.
That's right, I love this. Was it a poisonous snake, or do we care?
Well, what happened was that he pulled over.
Do you want to see my pet trouser snake?
He ran over to the side of the road and armed himself with a live snake.
No way. You mean he wasn't in his car already?
No, he went and picked it up. And
let's see, there's a big rock.
Oh, wait, there's a snake. Wait, I can get this, you know? And so the guy grabs the snake. Back away, or you get it with the snake.
And the snake bites him.
It seems like that would be a little risky. But I mean, anyway, how do you point a snake in the right direction? I mean, a gun, I understand, but a snake.
The driver armed himself with a live snake, pointed the head of the reptile at them, and threatened them.
With?
The snake.
No, I understand, but...
Sounds like a typical police report there.
Well, they're making this up.
I just wanted to tell you there was a little fun thing.
No, that's good. I like that.
Did you hear about the best lawyer story of the year? This was a Jack Roach special.
This was a Jack Roach. This was the best.
This is in Charlotte, North Carolina. A lawyer purchased a box of very rare and expensive cigars and insured them against, among other things, fire. Within a month, having smoked his entire stockpile of these great cigars... without making even his first premium payment, the lawyer filed a claim against the insurance company. In his claim, the lawyer stated that the cigars were lost in a series of small fires. So the insurance company refused to pay, citing the obvious reason the man had consumed the cigars in the normal fashion. But the lawyer sued, and he actually won. Okay.
And he won like a
$15,000 bucks. So, anyway, what happened was...
Wait a minute. Before, let's pause for a moment.
Right.
Just for a second. Just pause before we get to the finale.
Right.
Because...
We have to take it. So what are you thinking if you're...
Yeah, here you are. Here's the guy. He's typical John Edwards, you know, the vice president to be, whatever it is, suing people, and he $15,000 claims. The judge says, yep, sure enough, you know, they didn't say anything about small fires, large fires. It says fire... And by the letter of your
insurance policy,
sorry, you got to pay up.
Yep.
And so the attorney, he's laughing.
Right.
He's got to smoke these super
expensive
$50 a piece cigars, whatever it is, and got paid for it.
Right.
He's walking out of the courtroom, an attorney.
Right. Getting some more cigars.
Why not?
Right.
And now,
what do you think? What do you think the insurance company is going to do?
Well, I read the thing. So.
Okay.
The insurance company is going to eat it, right?
Yeah, right. No,
the insurance company says, shit, we lost.
Right. No.
They didn't.
No, what they did is after the lawyer cashed the check, the insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. With his own insurance claim and testimony from the previous case being used against him, the lawyer was convicted of intentionally burning his insured property and was sentenced to 24 months in jail and a $24,000 fine.
Don't we just love it?
Isn't that great?
This is one of the few times what goes around comes around. I mean, can you imagine? Here's the attorneys, all smiles. He's what the judge says. Yep, you win. Pay the man $15,000. Mm-hmm. As he's walking out of the courtroom, they shackle him
for arson.
And for arson. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is I love that.
Yep,
that is one of the best ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, I've heard better.
We better tell one then.
I can top that. No, I can't.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, next I've got on my list here. Again, we're doing this in no particular order. They want to pass a law now. As you know, this has to do with the illegal immigration, the immigration type thing.
Immigrate.
That's right. In order to become a citizen, you have to take a test. And what they've done is they're doing a new test. You have to take a test on the United States. Who's the president? I don't know. Whatever the questions are. There's a pool. This is typical of government type tests. They have a pool of 100 questions, and they ask you 10 of them out of that. And, of course, when you want to become a citizen, you learn. You go to Bob's School of Citizenry or whatever it is.
Hamad
School of Citizenship and Hairstylist and Tire Emporium. And you learn, you know, for several hundred dollars, he will teach you the 100 correct answers.
Mm-hmm.
That is to match up the answers with the questions.
Right.
Then when you go take the test, they randomly pull 10 out of there. And when
you got to answer a whole 10. Huh?
You know, I think you only have to get a 70 or something to pass. I'm guessing you have to get a 70 to pass. Anyway, apparently what's happened is, surprise, surprise, the answers and the questions are becoming fairly well known. So they're going to redo them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to redo the thing. And they want to stress...
Isn't the point of the questions for the stuff to be well known?
Yes. But this is apparently too many people are passing.
Mm.
So in their drive to keep people out, other than the several million that just stroll on into the country, the ones that actually go through the 5-year procedure and answer 7 out of 10 questions, there's too many of those people. There's like 100 of them.
But so, you actually have a copy of the new answers, right?
No, I don't.
Oh.
But what I'm saying here is this particular article says that they're going to redo the questions to stress more civics and less trivia. Apparently the questions have been, as so many times they are, here in Florida we have the math test and the English test, and they test you on
just... directly related to the stuff that you have to know to survive? Or the opposite of that?
One of those.
Okay.
The deal is that apparently they've been asking questions like, what was President Grant's middle name? Stuff like, just, it's been stupid things, mm-hmm. but, so they've taught... So they know something about America. I know President Grant's middle name, you know, that kind of thing. So now what they want to do is they want to redo the questions so that it asks you something that actually means something. What is the First Amendment? Does the First Amendment cover, I don't know, freedom of something or another?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to redo the 100 questions. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought was interesting about this, I would like to know, and I would love to get, and we will get this on the Jimmy Doan will do some research, actually, mm-hmm. some big R research on this.
Ooh.
We're going to find out what these 100 questions are, and the reason is this. I would bet big money, that if you gave this citizenship test to any senior in high school senior,
mm-hmm.
let me put it this way. If you walked over here to GHS mm-hmm. and gave this test to the seniors, I'll bet you that not a third of them would pass it.
Right.
I'll bet anything. What a gold mine this is. Things lightly obtained are lightly esteemed.
Hey, we posted the previous civics quiz, right? Did we ever take that down? Should we put this one up there?
That's right. We had a
civics. There's a civics quiz on the Jimmy Dunn website.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute, on my website?
Wait a minute. Yeah, in fact, it's your quiz, Jimmy, actually.
Wait. And I was sober when I did it. I'm sure.
I don't know.
No. I'm confident. No, Jimmy's been sober for longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Since yesterday, the day before, at least. So, no, this happened. But I thought this was on so many levels, this is funny that a person who's from Punjab is going to come in here and
whoop a senior's ass.
I made up a simple quiz one time. Oh, that's the one that's on there.
Yeah. Back to that full circle thing again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the other thing along this, the same kind of thing in the education line,
mm-hmm.
it says here, as math scores lag, they do a new push for the basics. And this also has to do with the new push now, once again.
Ooh. What? I mean, I have a cool, it was one of those things I was going to save for the lightness, but you just mentioned math.
This is like, math is like adding in stuff.
Hey, I've got
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm okay. I got it confused. I'm sorry. I thought it was something. Money making majors, the top 5 money making majors, chemical engineering, electrical engineering, computer engineering, mechanical engineering, computer science. So it's like, there's a lot of math there.
There's a lot of math. Well, that's right. And if it wasn't for H-1B visas, we probably wouldn't be doing anything in this country.
Right.
You know, whatever it is. The deal is, though, as math scores, the fact is that they're failing math in this country, mm-hmm. across the board. The mathematics education system is totally broken down. And this article one of the things, I don't have all the lines yellow lined here, but I remember what they're talking about. One of the problems is how they teach math, and they've had something for years now called fuzzy math.
Right.
And that is 2 + 2 = 5 for extremely large values of 2. There's close enough,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. And they can't understand why we're not making it.
Right.
They can't understand why we're not competing with East Jesus Bangladesh mm-hmm. is whipping our butts in math, and we're losing our edge across the board. So I remember when I was growing up, when Sputnik went up, mm-hmm. there was a huge push. And in fact, everybody went into engineering, everybody went into computer science. And for about 20 or 30 days, we were numero uno in the United States of America. And I think as soon as they got to the moon, one small step for mankind, and no more math. We don't have to.
No more math for the U.S.
That's right. No more math. No more teachers' dirty looks. No more books. What is it? How's that thing go? When you get out, no more something. No more books. No more teachers' dirty looks.
Okay.
Good. One of those. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, the deal is
60s chance.
Yeah. Hey, it's what we had. Look, we didn't have a PlayStation, for God's sakes. You know, I had a wooden doll. It was, you know, let me tell you something. This is what we did when I was growing up. When we played Cowboy,
a lot of people called it a stick.
That would have been the wood age. I think
let me tell you. When we played Cowboys and Indians, uh-huh. I used my finger as a gun. By God, and let me tell you, the thumb was the cap thing, whatever it is. That's what finger you were looking. We didn't have a finger, by God. We had to think.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you the coolest math thing. You go to Channel Curtis, click on the new math link, and there you will find the best way to teach kids math.
This was going to be your retirement fund, right?
There it is.
Curtis. I did see you at the books printed. They look really nice.
Hey.
Is that going to give away on
your... Ooh, yeah, we can... Oh, cool. What am I thinking? We're never going to give away anything on this show.
Of course we are. Did you see your new coffee cup?
Ah!
You see?
This is classic. Okay.
Yes, it's a Jimmy Doan coffee cup.
Right, because it's got a Jimmy Doan sticker on it. Let's not get carried away. These aren't the nice vinyl stickers that I wanted to make. This is like one of those ones off of Jimmy's inkjet. Well, no, I think he did have this professionally printed somewhere.
I did. Not only that, and they are not. One of the things about these cups is you don't notice it's black. Yeah. That way, when you drink coffee out of it, you never have to wash it, because as soon as you wash it, the label will come off. So the beauty of this is, no, I mean, this, we killed two birds with one stone here.
My God.
That's why it's a black coffee cup.
Right.
And so there's no...
You heard it here
we can send one of those out.
Well, okay, I dare you.
Well, there'll be no return address on the envelope. You can bet on that.
Oh, there may be one. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. As you see somebody take the coffee cup and as they heave it over the fence, a Stinger missile emits from the top of the White House and blasts this guy apart. Oh, my God. So, okay. Moving on, health insurance industry urges expansion of coverage. This brings up another point that of all the things, this is one of the things I've always said before. What is the greatest enemy of capitalism? It's capitalists. Mm-hmm. These are the people that have made it. And in order to protect their turf, they run scrambling to the government to set up some barriers for the competition. This is what always happens. And this is so typical. The health insurance industry, in case anybody doesn't know this, is probably one of the more competitive industries available. There are like 1,800 insurance companies licensed to
insure you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about competition, and yet we have an insurance regulatory board, and that is one of the reasons why we have super high insurance policies. That's one of the reasons that not content, mind you, with the 1,800 private and non-profit and mutual insurance companies, but the state of Florida has its own insurance company. It's called the Group something or another, and that's for people that get flooded out. If you build your $10 million house on the shores of the Gulf and it gets washed away, the taxpayers of Florida will pick up the tab for you.
Right.
And because you were hurt, you were injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no incentive to stay away from Hurricane Central. Mm-hmm. In Florida, which of course, since all of Florida's coastline,
right,
the entire state is coastline, just about
might be vulnerable,
but no. So they do in some places. They do make you put your house up on stilts or something like that. But the bottom line is the insurer of last resort, not content with 1,800, is the taxpayer.
Well, anytime you can get the government to pass a law,
well, that's the whole point.
Mandates that everybody pays you money.
Don't you just love it? And so the health insurance people, this is why we're headed for towards socialized medicine. Here's the people that really should be totally against anything involving mandatory insurance. These are the people that ought to be fighting to get rid of the regulation. But now they've realized, or they've understood, or I'm not exactly what the word is I'm looking for here. They they've decided
they're getting in bed with the devil, man.
Well, that's
they
right. They are, and they've what they've decided is they can't fight City Hall, so they decided to go ahead and join the devil. Exactly, join up with the devil.
The robot devil.
That's well, any devil that comes along, I'm here to tell you that. I mean, this it's tragic. It is tragic that these people who are in business to make money have decided that it's they don't want to compete anymore. They don't want to tell. They don't want to go fight the government and say, look, these regulations are killing us. They say, look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll get into bed with you on this one. Pass a whole bunch of regulations, keep everybody else out, and guess who gets screwed on this thing? It sure ain't them, I can guarantee you that. It's us. I mean, this is tragic that the people that the capitalists, the people that are in business, have decided that the way to make money is to have more government regulation.
Well, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, right. If you have ambitious people who are trying to accumulate wealth, they're going to take every means available. And if the government offers up a solution whereby they'll pass a law that supports them, they're going to jump in. It's funny that the Democrats always miss that angle. They don't see the other side jumping in and taking the reins after somebody gives them a bunch of power.
Well, it's I've always said this that we're talking. Might mention this now. Matter of fact, we digress. Why did Gino come in here and say Alice Cooper? Any particular reason for that?
The devil? I don't know.
I guess I don't know.
It is game day. Maybe Gino's had a few.
Well, what, 62 to nothing or whatever? Right. 63 to nothing? What was it?
Right, yeah. He's a huge Gator fan.
They whomped East Jesus Western North Carolina, I think it was. So.
Yeah.
The point is that what you find is, and this is what's happened here in the recent midterm elections, is you had one group of thugs replace another group of thugs. You know, my thugs are better than your thugs, that kind of thing. And this is one of when you realize that it's not going to get any better. So make sure that you hit the donate button.
I did change it to donation.
Yeah, so I told you to do it.
No, that's
the
good.
Donation button, because we do want
and
to.
And at our website, that's jimmy@jimmydone.com in case you didn't know. And of course, if you want to IM us, as like Gino does, you can go to JD Show.
No, it's Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan Show, that's what it is.
All one word, not the Jimmy Doan Show, right. But Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan Show. So it's an IM thing, it's an instant message thing.
Okay, cool.
So add us as your buddy.
Yes, add us as your buddy, and we're right here. And then, of course, you can call, 866-95-JIMMY?
Jimmy. Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, that will
and
ring.
Nothing will happen.
And yeah. nothing, well, no, you get a message that says, hi, Jimmy. it's toll-free, for God's sakes. You know, if you have to be,
look, anytime you cares if nothing happens?
No, it's
a free call. I mean, that's, just think about it. If you're listening to us in Oregon right now on ZTLK, and you decide you want to make a free call, you can call 866-95-JIMMY.
And that's like taking a nonstop plane flight around the world.
Right. And your point is, right.
It's
exactly.
Fun.
You get blood clots and die.
Right.
From sitting in coach. So you have the one group. I've lost my train of thought. Thanks a lot, folks. I've lost my train of thought. This is great.
Well, just insurance companies that are doing stuff.
Good. Boy, I'll tell you. Zero in on the topic on that one, I'll tell you. Whoa, that's food for...
He used to write summaries for a living.
Words like stuff and things.
You're awfully popular.
That's right. Lot is another one. My English teacher used to say, a lot is a piece of land, not...
A word.
Something. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Well, that was when, as we always, when we took the tests, all is a detergent, not an answer. So, I'm done. Do you want to take a little break?
We can.
We're on the hour.
Little minute break here.
Yeah, let's go
like
ahead and play something here. And we'll come right back and we'll talk about more about the same-sex unions.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about more about immigration. We'll talk about the fence.
Yep, definitely the fence.
Okay, so we'll be back in a minute, folks.
Okay.
Don't go away.
Hello, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You just got done listening to part one of our November 18th podcast. If you'll be needing part two, please go to jimmydoan.com where you can download it. For free.